welcome back to the 10-4 show. Before we dive into this, I want to take a quick opportunity to thank all of you who turned into episode 1 by Brian Keller and did a lot of blogging about it and some tweeting about it and helped get the word out. We're very thankful. The first episode was a great success, a lot of views, and we want to continue to drive on that passion of the community in order to provide a lot more great episodes for you coming up in the future weeks and months and leading up all the way to launch of Visual Studio 2010. So here in this second episode of the 10-4 show, I want to give you more of a broad picture of the features that you can expect to see coming in Visual Studio 2010 and .NET Framework 4. Not only that, but there's a lot of stuff to look at. And then to dive in, we're going to show you the start page and with some of the cool stuff that you can do with the new XAML-based start page. So with Visual Studio 2010 and .NET Framework 4, what were the features that Microsoft did that we really targeted when we set out to develop this upcoming product? Well, you can see there's a lot of challenges that we're looking at addressing. Everything from those developers out there doing a lot of code-focused development, so wanting to stay in the IDE, loving code, living code, breathing code. What are the things that makes getting up to speed with the code base or even maintaining an existing code base a lot easier than it was with previous versions of Visual Studio? So we'll talk a little bit about that, as well as some of the other areas like Office developers. What are the features coming to make Office development a lot easier? What are the things coming in some of the emerging trends around dynamic languages that we're seeing and so forth? You can see there's a lot of stuff, and we're going to be talking about it a lot and digging a lot into it in the future episodes. So let's talk about some of the individual features that are coming depending on what type of developer you are. There's a few types of developers that I'll really dive into here to outline some of the various features. The first one being the web developer. So if I'm a web developer, what can I expect coming in Visual Studio 2010 and .NET Framework 4? You can see there's a couple things listed here, like the more integrated and flexible deployment tools. So these are the web deploy features where I can easily even get one-click deployment directly within Visual Studio to deploy my web application to the various environments I may have in my development environment. So this could be staging environments, it could be testing environments, or even the production environment. It's a very flexible set of tools that allows me to configure all the different environments I may have, and then do some interesting things around configuring or transforming the web config, making other changes that need to be done in order to actually deploy to that environment. So a lot of cool stuff coming there. You can see we're having increased standards or increased support for web standards. This is everything from allowing easier control over web standards and semantic HTML via some of the new web technologies that are coming, like ASP.NET MVC, and as well as that differing framework. So you're going to have the web forms development that you have today. You're going to have the ASP.NET MVC that you may have seen. There's going to be dynamic data. There's a lot of different things depending on the type of web application that you're actually developing. You can also see some of the better tooling and support for rich internet applications. So increasing tooling around Silverlight and things that make developing Silverlight applications a lot easier than before. And then finally, some support for caching solutions. So this can be distributed caching, it can be local caching, you know, very configurable with a new project coming that you may have heard of called Codename Velocity, which we'll be diving into in future episodes as well. So a lot of stuff coming from the web developer for the web developer. But how about if I'm a line of business Windows developer? Well, you can see there's some stuff that's coming around exposing data faster and easier than it was before. This could be via REST services with stuff like Astoria or data services. You can see some stuff coming around dynamic data to make data over forms applications a lot easier to get up and running very quickly if there's some data within your app, within your department, or within your company that you want to expose users to, as well as some of those more flexible deployment solutions, improvements in click once, and other areas in the framework that makes deploying your applications easier than it was before. So if you're an Office developer, What are some of the things as an Office developer that I might care about? Well, one of the big ones is the ability to target the latest and greatest platforms. So we're going to be targeting the future Offices that are coming, or I should say the future version of Office, as well as the things within the Office platform like SharePoint and Word and Excel. What are the things that you can leverage and make that easier to leverage? This includes, as you can see here, tooling support for SharePoint. So the ability to do, you know, workflows and new pages in SharePoint within Visual Studio. So making this a lot easier than it was before, creating a new SharePoint project, and being able to go that extra mile and stay within the tools that I know and love today, being Visual Studio. Language improvements, so these are things that are coming not only around dynamic languages, but other ones in C# and VB and other .NET languages that make it easier to use the Office APIs. So one of these might be named in optional parameters in C# that actually make it easier to leverage and work with the Office APIs that are out there running today. And then finally, again, increased deployment support. So a lot of stuff coming from Office for Office developers. And what about ISVs? If I'm an ISV out there targeting the Microsoft stack and Microsoft platform, what are the things coming in Visual Studio 2010 in .NET Framework 4 that I care about? Well, you can see there's a lot of stuff. One of the big ones is concurrency. This is a very important matter that we'll probably have several episodes digging into in the future. And something that's coming up and is very important to realize is really here today. I need to build concurrent applications that are able to target those multi-core machines that are out there. It's said that within 10 years or so, we could possibly see a 100-core machine that's on the market and readily available to purchase, according to Intel. So this is an area that it becomes very important to how to target these new platforms that our current APIs aren't really easy. When you're dealing with multi-threaded code, there's a lot of gotchas and a lot of issues that you have to know about and work around. So what are the things that are going to make that easier? You can see supporting for making applications extensible. This could be everything from multi-tenant applications to even just allowing third parties or my customers to easily extend my application to better suit their needs without me actually having to directly change the code in my application itself. You can see new C++ OX support for those native developers that are out there. We are looking at adopting C++ OX and going forward and really being one of the pushers of that platform, everything from lambdas to autos for compiler, being able to automatically associate what types are with what variables and so on, letting the compiler infer that information rather than having to be explicit in the code. So those are just very high level, as you can see, a very 30,000 foot overview of what various types of developers are going to see coming in this new platform. But here, I want to go ahead and dive in and really start at the beginning. When I first open up Visual Studio, what's one of the first things that I'm going to live with, that I'm going to interact with, that I really need to know what's happening? And that's going to be the start page. So let's go ahead and dive into that. Here's the new start page in Visual Studio. As you can see, it's all XAML-based. There's a bunch of links here on the welcome page from CTP walkthroughs to areas to get feedback, as well as other tabs that I might see. You can see at the bottom I have my RSS aggregator that'll provide other information. I also have links to Visual Studio information, whether this be MSDN library or the forums, or even my settings. So if I go ahead and bring up the settings, you can see direct access to my settings dialog. And then finally, perhaps the area that you're going to be the most involved with is the pages or the projects that I have. There's some interesting changes here. Not only do you have access to a new project or opening existing solutions, but there's this new project list, where with previous Visual Studios, I would get just the recent projects, but I'd have no control over that list whatsoever. But as you can see here, I have the ability to actually pin or unpin projects to make sure they stay in that location on the project list. And on top of that, so I also have the ability to remove projects. So if I click here, you can see I'll actually remove a couple. So full access to the recent projects list to trim that and maintain it any way I want, which is really easy if I'm working with a lot of projects. The other cool thing about this is it's fully extensible. So I can actually do some things to make it a lot easier to work with or extend it on my own. So in this case, let's add another tab area here on project under Visual Studio that's for my specific team, any team resources. So if I go out here, this is the area where the start page is located when Visual Studio is installed. You can see it's under Common 7, /IDE/start pages, and then /the culture, which in my installation is EN for English. Here, I'm in my user documents area for Visual Studio where any code snippets and projects and so on are going to be. But I'm going to go ahead and create a new folder, which this is going to be start pages. So this is going to be my own custom area. So when I customize my start page, it's going to reside right here. So let's go ahead and move the XAML page and the CS proj over into my custom location. I'm going to go ahead and copy it here. And let's go ahead and modify the XAML to add a custom area that I'm going to do for just team resources. So if I go ahead and edit this file, I'm just going to open it up in Notepad for now. And then I'm going to scroll all the way down to the bottom and add a new area specifically for my team. I'm just going to paste in some code that I've already written. It's just normal XAML code. So if you're used to working with XAML today, you can continue to use it and use all the tools that you know today. So I'm going to save it and close this out. I'm going to go ahead and load Visual Studio again. So let's go ahead and crack open and start up Visual Studio. And once Visual Studio starts up, you'll see there's this new area now called Team, which is the new area I created. So if I go down and open this new area, you can see it's all the information that I've put into the XAML file, which in this case is necessary team resources. This could be links to a SharePoint portal for my team. It could be all sorts of stuff. In this case, for this simple example, I've just listed a couple books that I think are highly recommended if I were to be running a team. So you can see, being all XAML-based, we have a very powerful capability to customize this as much as we want, to share it, and really do anything we want with it. So I hope you absolutely enjoy this power that we've provided to you, and you can think of many different ways to possibly use it. So as you can see, there's a lot of stuff coming in this next release of Visual Studio 2010 and .NET Framework 4 that we'll dive into at a much greater and deeper level in coming episodes. And as you saw, there's the new start page, which is very extensible, all XAML-based. You can really take it and run with it. Anything that you would imagine that you could do with it, you can absolutely go ahead and try, and then even have it used by others. You could post it out there so others can use the same start page and customize their Visual Studio experience on startup, as well as perhaps you want to make that available to your entire team. There's really the sky is the limit here. There's a lot of things that you can do, and really it's up to your imagination. So, thank you for watching episode 2 of the 10-4 show here on Channel 9. You can see here's some links. If you want to subscribe, you can go to the 10-4 show homepage, and there's an RSS feed that you can use in your current aggregator to be up to speed on any future episodes as we release them, as well as this email address that'll contact us behind the team that's running the 10-4 show, which is just 10-4@microsoft.com. So feel free to email us anytime, and we look forward to providing future episodes for you. If you want other information on Visual Studio 2010, there's been a lot of videos that we've produced so far that are available to you. So go ahead and make sure to check out the Visual Studio area on Channel 9 at channel9.msdn.com/visualstudio. And that'll provide a lot more information as we go forward, not just limited to the 10-4 show itself. So until next time, it's been an absolute pleasure digging into this some more with all of you. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any feedback, make sure to contact us. And until next time, we'll see you later.